We move to the final case this morning, or this afternoon, Claw versus City of Indianapolis.
Sure glad we don't have these chairs in Chicago. Like if I don't fall out.
My current chair, and yet we've got a court chair. So far, it's worked all right.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Adam Lenkowski, and I represent Nancy Kuo in this appeal. I also represented her in most of the district court proceedings. This is a case, unlike the other cases that we've heard this afternoon, that involved a dismissal on a motion for summary judgment. Ms. Kuo was basically a city employee. She worked for a department that was charged with certain redevelopment projects in Marion County, Indianapolis. And she was hired in May 2007. Shortly after she was hired, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis as well as a number of other medical conditions. Now, her problems, or her employment-related problems, for the most part, started in 2009 when her job was, when she was reassigned to a job as a boarding manager and with a new boss, Michelle Winfield. Now, the interesting part of this case, and I'll focus my comments, there are two different issues here. One is whether the defendant properly presented their evidence on the motion for summary judgment. We take the position that they did not do that, and then the second issue goes to the merits of the case. Now, what happened with this case was initially they filed a motion for summary judgment with respect to the discrimination claim. They argued that Ms. Kuo had been, her termination did not violate the Americans with Disabilities Act because there was no adverse employment action. They completely ignored her arguments with respect to what she had alleged in her complaint, as well as what she had said in her interrogatories, which were submitted as part of her deposition, and she was questioned about her interrogatory responses. So the question to the court becomes, what is a district court allowed to address when a specific issue has not been briefed by the defendant on a motion for summary judgment? The first problem with this is the defendant has cited the Ulcer Institute case. That was a case where the court said, well, if you have notice, then the district court judge can rule sua sponte. Well, the problem with their argument in that case is Ulcer actually involved the judge specifically telling the court or the parties that there was a specific issue that he found dispositive, and then he said, I believe this case is in peril. Let's argue the trial briefs upon this. In this case, that is not what happened. The plaintiff had to basically speculate what potential arguments could be. So for that reason, we believe that the Ulcer case is not dispositive here. Actually, what the court should have done is they should have said, hey, look, there's an issue that has not been addressed. I want you guys to go ahead and address that. And ironically, that is actually what they did with respect to the retaliation claim. The district court was a little confused about the nature of the retaliation claim and in an order told parties, look, what is the statutorily protected activity? Tell me. Same thing should have happened with respect to discrimination. It didn't.
What evidence were you unable to present that you would have presented if in your view, the motion had been sufficiently clear?
Thank you. That is actually sort of where the waiver claim merges with the pretext claim, because basically what the city addressed was they simply said...
No, let me go back. The question is, what evidence were you unable to present because of this lack of notice that you assert?
We think that it would not have been possible to present evidence of a pretext because the defendant actually had not even argued a pretext in their motion for summary judgment. So that was something that we were not able to address, and that was something that the court specifically ruled on.
What evidence of pretext was not submitted to the district court that you think you would have submitted if you had understood the scope of the motion better?
We probably could have gotten statements from other employees.
Could have gotten?
Could have, yes, Your Honor. And obviously this is not part of the record, but I believe that the fact that that specific issue was not argued made us logically conclude, well, look, our response to this is going to be what has been argued.
We would get to pretext if and only if you made out a prima facie case of discrimination under the ADA, and there are obviously issues there, right?
Well, Your Honor, what the city basically argued in the motion for summary judgment was that Ms. Clough was not meeting the legitimate expectations. We, point by point, we believe we rebutted that allegation, and that was basically what they argued in their motion for summary judgment. Under CELA text, the defendant's initial burden is to come forth with what they think is dispositive, and what they came forth with as thinking was dispositive was whether she was meeting her legitimate expectations. And we, on every single issue that the city submitted, we rebutted that and showed that she was meeting her legitimate expectations. Now, what the district court did was they took the pretext inquiry, relying on evidence that had been gathered through several affidavits that had been submitted by Ms. Clough. I'm sorry, that had been submitted through Ms. Clough's deposition. The problem with the way that the district court addressed pretext, and there is some case law that does say that the two inquiries can merge. That is absolutely true. I agree with the defendant on that point. However, the burden of proof is simply not to articulate a reason for termination, but a legitimate reason for termination. There was no employer affidavit, and in fact, the termination letter simply said we're relying on not meeting standards established in three memos, and we didn't know what those are. I see my rebuttal time has expired.
Your rebuttal time hasn't expired, but you're into it, though.
Okay. And I believe that based upon the manner in which the evidence was submitted, they have failed to articulate the legitimate portion of a motion for summary judgment. All they have shown, or all they have done, is articulated a reason for her termination, not a legitimate reason for her termination.
Well, Mr. Lenkowski, did the city accommodate Ms. Clough's request for a schedule of working only 3 to 4 days a week and basically only when she felt up to it?
That goes to whether she actually they accommodated her. The argument with respect to accommodation, and they did allow her to work 2 to 3 and then 3 to 4 days per week, and then eventually her employment.
That's a pretty extraordinary accommodation, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, and that is not the arguments that we have made with respect to accommodation. It had to
right.
do
with respect to the printer and the parking.
Sure.
Did the delays in getting those accommodations prevent her from doing her job?
Your Honor, what happened was she was assigned to a basically to office duty.
Gronkowski.
Yes.
Did they prevent her from doing her job?
Yes, they did.
How?
She was assigned to office duty, and as a result of being assigned...
The assignment to office duty, though, was part of the accommodation that was requested, right?
Right. Correct.
You can't complain about that, can you?
No.
Okay, so...
She needed to print a lot of items, and she was unable to walk across the office to get the documents from the printer as a result.
For a few weeks, right?
For several weeks, anywhere between 2 weeks.
Was she penalized for any of the printing she failed to do during that period?
No, Your Honor, and we haven't made a we've made an accommodation claim, not a adverse employment claim based on the printer or the parking. I see my time has expired. Are there any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Cam Starnes. I'm an attorney for the City of Indianapolis. And the City would respectfully request that this Court affirm the District Court's grant of summary judgment in favor of the City, finding that the City of Indianapolis, as a matter of law, did not discriminate against Nancy Clough based on her disability, that the City reasonably accommodated Nancy Clough's disability in response to her requests, and that the City did not retaliate against Ms. Clough for requesting accommodation for her disability. Clough did not meet the City's legitimate employment expectations of subordination to superiors, honesty, open communication, and performance of her work duties. Further, Clough has failed
to... But where she says she did, and she comes forward with evidence to the contrary, why are you entitled to summary judgment on that theory?
Because Ms. Clough's evidence is not sufficient to lead a jury to reasonably conclude that she was meeting those expectations. The District Court correctly collapsed the legitimate employment expectation element of her prima facie case with pretext, because Clough, in essence, argues that the employment expectations were pretextual in nature, and Clough's not established any evidence which would indicate that they were pretextual or that the City did not believe that they were legitimate.
Did you all move for summary judgment on the grounds of an absence of pretext?
We moved for summary judgment on behalf of the City in that Clough had failed to meet her burden to establish a prima facie case of discrimination based on her disability, and including, certainly, that she could not establish that she met the legitimate employment expectations of the City of Indianapolis.
That doesn't sound like – I mean, look, the questions are quite distinct, right? Whether you're actually meeting the employer's expectations is something where an employee and a supervisor can disagree. But if you move on to the pretext inquiry, then it's good enough for the employer just to say, well, even if I was mistaken, I honestly believed that she wasn't meeting standards, and therefore I didn't discriminate against her because of the disability, right? But those are two distinct issues. And if you didn't move for summary judgment on the second, how is it appropriate for the district court to address it?
By the second, I take it you mean the pretext
yes.
Inquiry. The pretext is certainly a part of the plaintiff's broader claim of discrimination, and therefore was included when the City moved for summary judgment.
We've got cases that say, in essence, if a party can move on grounds A and B, the court can't wind and does move on grounds A and B, but doesn't raise ground C, which could have been raised but wasn't. The district court cannot grant summary judgment on ground C without giving notice and an opportunity to be heard, and that sounds like that fits this description.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor, in that the issue is properly before the district court. The evidence bore out through the briefing of the summary judgment motion with regard to
Can you direct me to the language in your opening brief on summary judgment that puts plaintiff on notice that she needs to put in any evidence of pretext?
In essence, Clough would have noticed that she needed to
put on her entire case?
Put on her entire case.
That's exactly what the case law I'm referring to says no. You don't have to put on your whole case. You address the issues that the defense has raised.
In any event, the district court granted summary judgment on the prima facie case and closed failure to meet that case, including...
But only by collapsing, or was there something else? Only by, if you collapse pretext and legitimate expectations, then you've got a problem.
Indeed, and the district court did correctly do that based on some prior precedent, including the Hague case, which plaintiff doesn't contend would not apply or that was even improper. Further, the prima facie case includes the elements of meeting legitimate employment expectations as well as identifying a similarly situated individual. And to the extent that Clough's own theory is that the expectations were pretextual, then it is Clough's burden under the Hague case, once those elements are collapsed, to present evidence that the city did not believe the proffered expectations of her employment.
Right, but did you collapse those two elements in your brief?
On reply...
Reply doesn't count.
I understand, Your Honor. The moving brief addressed a separate theory that mirrored the bulk of Clough's deposition testimony, which is in the record regarding her own identification of her discrimination complaints, which dealt largely with FMLA certification and recertification. So in drafting the motion for summary judgment, the city addressed that in depth while also making general arguments that Clough had not met her burden to establish discrimination.
Did you specifically address the issue of comparators, similarly situated employees?
That was specifically addressed in the moving brief, Your Honor. It specifically said Clough had not identified a single similarly situated individual, which alone is fatal to Clough's case because it is an element of her prima facie case, which she must establish before moving forward to even a pretext inquiry in the broad sense.
Could we get to one of the issues that Mr. Lenkowski raised?
Of course.
Which is how this evidence was presented. There's not even an affidavit from a decision maker saying, here's why I fired her. I've never seen a motion like that.
There's not an affidavit. That is correct. However, there is a notice of termination, which was introduced through Clough's own deposition, which encapsulates the reasons for her termination. And in addition, introduced through her deposition and part of the record are several instances of written discipline of Clough throughout the tenure of her employment. Despite an 18-month history of accommodating Clough at every request, the city felt that she was not meeting her legitimate employment expectations, that she continued to exhibit problems in her performance, and therefore terminated her accordingly. And the notice of termination stands as the evidence that is necessary just to establish that she was terminated.
I mean, the notice just says, for reasons we've discussed in other documents and other meetings.
It does, and those other documents that are referred to are also part of the record through the...
What would be so hard about just getting an affidavit from the decision maker and saying, here's why we fired her?
I don't know why that would be difficult. I wasn't involved at that stage, but regardless, it's not necessary to meet the burden that the city would have to establish that Clough has not met her burden to establish that the termination was either retaliatory or discriminatory against her because she has a disability.
Is this the way the city is now handling summary judgment motions, by not identifying a witness who would come forward as the decision maker?
I would hope not, Your Honor.
Me too.
I certainly wouldn't approach it that way. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that the record is sufficient to establish that the city has terminated Clough for a legitimate non-discriminatory reason, and Clough has failed to rebut that. It is her burden to do so. And so in the face of the accommodations over an 18-month period in which every accommodation of her disability that Clough requested was reasonably met, there was an interactive process which is contemplated under the ADA. And that is all that's contemplated. There's certainly no evidence of bad faith on the city in the handling of Clough's disability and her request for accommodation. It was only after a detailed history and a continued path of failure to legitimately perform her employment duties that the city saw fit to terminate Ms. Clough's employment, as she has not demonstrated that it was discriminatory, that the city did not reasonably accommodate her disability, and that it was not in retaliation for requesting accommodation, The city would again respectfully request that this court affirm the district court's opinion. Absent any further questions, the city will stand on its briefs in this matter.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. And that concludes the cases to be heard today, and the court will be in recess.